On behalf of the AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this is Adam Chaikin, and along with me, I have Larry Boyd and Chris Frazier, and we're here to talk about social media, what's working and what's not working. Many of you are familiar with Facebook, the nearly globally ubiquitous social media application that has grown massively over the course of the last several years. In 2012, Microsoft purchased Yammer for nearly $1.2 billion, however, has had limited success with it. Chris, would you like to share your thoughts about Microsoft's acquisition of Yammer and why it might not be working so well?
Yes, thanks, Adam. So I have had a chance, obviously, to use Facebook and Yammer, and the Yammer product has repeatedly had problems getting traction in corporate networks. I can understand the advantages that companies like to have the governance. They like to have the ownership of what's going on, and obviously, if there's any confidential content, you never want to see that going outside the company networks. But the problem has been it's just not quite the same product. Users are familiar with Facebook. It's been a learning curve to learn Yammer. And I always see an issue that what I call critical mass, but is there enough content that it makes people actually want to go there first, or is it one of those secondary, tertiary where they have to go there because they're, I'll say, being directed to, not because they feel like it's a good place to go for what they need?
Thank you for that, Chris. And Larry, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, at a former employer, I'd worked with Yammer, and we tried to get up a group collaboration, and it really was difficult for some of the folks. And it's fair to say my team is not technology adverse, so we couldn't seem to get any. Even though I was toned from the top, we should be using this. We try to figure out how to communicate with our user community, and again, unlike Facebook, which is pretty much how I stay up to date with all my family and friends, it seems stilted.
I had a similar experience, Larry, at a client that I worked at 2 years ago that had deployed Yammer and was really trying to use it as an internal communication tool. Where I saw that company really fail in their execution of that was trying to regulate and trying to be specific about what was acceptable and what was not acceptable for internal postings. I think that really hampered the freedom that people felt and what they were able to post online. I think that in itself really diminished the usefulness of the tool. Larry, when you were trying to deploy that, did the organization put any limits on what was fair game for commenting?
Well, yeah, there was definitely, a couple pages of, do's and don'ts. But, again, it was primarily to make sure that we were trying to enable it. I mean, many of our clients were some of the big external social media firms. And so it was, they were trying to be progressive, and they were. It just felt like there's always Big Brother watching you, and you just were always somewhat concerned as to what you would, how you would interact, whether it would be viewed as appropriate or inappropriate.
And Larry, I think you bring up a good point. I see that a lot with companies is they have the debates of, how much should they give free rein to the employees versus what kind of governance or even liabilities would they possibly have by some of the things that are posted up there. And I don't think there's a perfect answer, but it's definitely a relevant issue to address.
Very good thoughts. Thank you both for those comments.
Companies are concerned about, do they want to have unfiltered messages going out there, or are there things that companies are missing out on and should be taking advantage of?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a tone from the top in organizations, and I think that's still there, but it also stilts the free flow of information and exchange of ideas. So there's a balancing act that's, and I believe we're way past the tipping point on this, but I do believe the tsunami of social media is going to overcome. Just like I think we mentioned before, there's the tsunami of the bring your own device inside the company firewalls, right? Well, external ideas are coming in and internal ideas are making it out. So something to think about.
Yes, Chris, you bring up a fascinating point, and I can really appreciate the comments that Larry's made in that regard. I wonder why campaigns and others are able to be so successful in engaging with social media where corporations seem to be struggling. I've seen this work very well on the one hand, and I've seen it fail miserably on the other hand. Recently, I had a customer service issue that came up on a flight with Southwest Airlines. I sent a tweet to Southwest Airlines and immediately got feedback about, number one, an apology that my flight was delayed, number two, an alternate flight that I could take, and somebody also sent me the 800 number that I could simply click on my mobile device and be connected to an agent where I can adjust my flight schedule. Southwest, from my perspective, really has done a great job in using social media not only to talk about low fares and great service, but also as a service component. I've also seen it, unfortunately, go terribly wrong. Another airline, which I won't mention negatively, and because of my comment, I took the opportunity to explain that certain circumstances that arose recently with regard to a pilot not being capable of flying under the influence, failed miserably at trying to talk about the way in which they prevent those sorts of things from happening. So it really cuts both ways. Chris, have you seen other examples where companies are doing really well or failing trying to use social media in their online strategies?
Yeah, I think actually those are two good examples. I actually had a thought that I'm wondering if we hold companies to a different standard than other, I'll say, sources like the political campaigns or social groups that are out there that aren't formal. I'm just thinking as we talk, you know, I hold, you know, a well-known corporate brand. I expect a certain level of integrity or just professionalism, and it seems like social media goes against the grain of that. So it's probably a hard thing to say what works, what doesn't, but we can see examples when people have tried one or the other.
Do you think it's a litigious society we live in, that the companies are overly concerned?
Well, you have to be aware of that in today's world because there is a cost to that.
That's an interesting point, Larry. I'm thinking now across the various aspects of social media that we discussed. Certainly, the brick-and-mortar organizations, the ones that have long, storied, credible histories, certainly are a little bit more cautious about what they do online, probably because their experience in the litigious society and the exposure that they feel. Whereas if you pivot to the social media aspects of the political campaigns, it seems like there's less of an emphasis on accuracy and more of an emphasis on who said it first. I really think that there's a huge transformation in social media, certainly the fast-breaking way that world events can manifest themselves, whether it dates back to the rallies associated with the Arab Spring or other fast-breaking news about natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. It's certainly not what you know and certainly not the accuracy of what you know, but how quickly you know it. From my perspective, it seems like getting 80% of the story immediately seems to have Trump getting 100% of the story right, but getting it a lot slower than everyone else.
And perhaps too late to take action.
Yeah, Larry, I think you bring up the current dilemma that, you know, I get most of my breaking news from Twitter, and then I can read the paper later, but it's old news. So unless it's good analysis, I don't have as much interest in it anymore.
Right. You know, unless it's analysis of the trend that was that gave rise to the event or the incident, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if somebody puts good perspective on it, I value that, and I'm willing to wait a little longer to see that.
All very good points. Before we wrap up, I was curious to know your thoughts individually about what's working with social media. We have such a diverse array of tools, text-only rich content that can be offered through things like YouTube and Instagram, the global pervasiveness of Facebook. Chris, what do you think of the recipes for a successful social media platform? Why are the ones that are working, and why do you think the ones that have really struggled to make it have failed?
Sure. Thanks, Adam. I think that, I mean, it really comes down to the basics, but is it easy to use? Does it make sense? Does it have, I'll say, enough critical mass that it makes sense for you to be there? And I think probably, you know, we are always trying to try out the new things. So, you know, I've started with Facebook, moved to Twitter, done Instagram, tried Snapchat, tried Pinterest, and then tried ones that don't seem to get the traction. I mean, I guess there's some new things. There's GroupMe, there's Slack, there's Cisco Spark, there's Yammer. I think we had Link. We've had G+. And I think part of it is really the crowd. If the crowd adapts to it, which I'm assuming is because they find it something that they're happy to work with, then you see kind of a shift, and that almost, you know, the marketplace moves to it. And then I guess once you become the 800-pound gorilla, you have a little bit of staying power, unless you're a MySpace. So that does give you kind of a first-to-market, does give you a competitive advantage. And if you make it a free service, I guess people have the ability to move to and from as they desire.
All good points. Larry, you have thoughts on that?
I don't know how you guys all use, but I use Twitter as the way to stimulate myself. I mean, in the sense that there's all the news feeds, but then there's all the institutions, the educational institutions around the world that are publishing, posting, MIT, Harvard, and basically that then links me into some long-form content. It's just, to me, it's headlines for all the content that I'd like to stay on top of, right? Then YouTube is the way that I can pretty much see anything that I didn't see, you know, from any of the news feeds or any programming. And LinkedIn, of course, is the way we advertise ourselves to each other. And Instagram is just, for me, beautiful images from around the world. So, again, it's the way I use it. And I'm just never bored. And maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe I should be spending more time just, you know, introspection of my, you know, thinking through things. But I love, you know, maybe it's ADD or something, but I like to flip around to the different media to get inspiration to move forward.
Yeah, Adam and Larry, I'm interested in your thoughts. I personally look at those different social media services, and I use them whether it's more or less professional for me. So I almost maintain different, I'll say, images of myself that, you know, LinkedIn is more my professional, but I'll do another one that is purely more my personal life. Do you guys do anything similar?
I certainly do. So along the same lines that you both do, I keep LinkedIn very professional. It is essentially my online business card, the combination of my resume that has my experiences as well. I'm a little bit more relaxed with regard to Twitter, even though I do tweet on my company handle. I'm a little bit more liberal to put my own personal views in there, similar to what has been said before, trying to keep it authentic and trying to keep it as personal as possible. For a variety of reasons, I've decided not to use Facebook anymore. It's something that I moved away from over 2 years ago. That was mostly a personal preference because I found that I was spending too much time on it and was catching up with people from my past that I felt were better left in my past. And seemed like a very antagonistic type of environment as well. Seemed like people were always anxious to do battle with regard to their political views and so on. So I do keep a very different online persona based on the various channels that are out there.
Yeah, definitely Twitter is, I have two handles. There's the one that's professional, and then there's the one that I put out opinions, and they tend to be more of a political nature. And then on LinkedIn, it's all professional. With Facebook, it's just family and friends, and I restrict it to just family and friends.
I mean, I think we are all, you know, cognizant enough that we have to maintain our personal brands and which one represents what.
Right.
I agree. Not just enough to be an accountant or be a CITP anymore, but really trying to manage your persona online in that additional dimension above and beyond the quality of service that you bring.
And I think people value it more when they realize you're a real person. I think that adds another degree of personality to it.
Certainly agree. Thank you both. On behalf of the AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, this has been Adam Chaykin, along with Larry Boyd and Chris Frazier. And we just presented on the topic of social media and its relevance in the market today. To access more information and resources on this topic, social media, and other related information, technology, and technology assurance, visit aicpa.org/IMTA, that's IMTA/resources. We also encourage highly anyone who's interested in the IMTA section and CITP credential holders to review your biweekly electronic IMTA news to keep up with the latest news, resources, advocacy, and events. Visit aicpa.org/IMTA, that's IMTA/news, for the latest edition.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.